Hi everyone. Well, it's June and the sun is out finally. It's a glorious week. And we are coming towards the end of studying the book of Acts. We've got a few more weeks left. And I hope you've enjoyed what you've learnt so far. So let's crack on with chapter 13. So at the end of chapter 12, we learn that Barnabas, Saul and John Mark were all at the church in Antioch, having returned from delivering a gift of support to the church in Jerusalem. Saul and Barnabas were among the teachers and prophets who were there. So after a time of fasting and praying, the Holy Spirit chose Barnabas and Saul to be set apart for a specific work. I love how the people of the church were still so focused despite the opposition and persecution that they'd faced. It's possible that they were seeking the Lord about the need to spread the gospel to the whole earth, just as Jesus had told them. In the New King James, the Holy Spirit says, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul." Before Barnabas and Saul could do anything significant for God, first they had to be separated to him. In the middle of a mix of culture, ethnicities and religions, Paul and Barnabas had to choose to live separated to God. And I want to encourage you that if you feel like you're constantly having to choose to live differently from family or friends who aren't believers, you're not alone. Paul would later write in Ephesians 2, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And here God called Barnabas and Saul to those kind of good works. And off they went, being intentionally sent by the church in Antioch. Many regard this as the first real known missionary effort of the church. So after reaching various places en route and preaching the word of God in the synagogues, they came to the island of Paphos, and here they encountered two men. First, the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. This was an important man. A Roman proconsul was responsible for an entire province and answered to the Roman Senate. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Secondly, a man who seemed to possess two names. I mean, seriously, the Bible can be sometimes quite confusing with names. Jacob, renamed Israel, Simon, renamed Peter, Paul, Saul, renamed Paul, which we'll be hearing about later in this passage. And now this guy, his real name was Bar-Jesus, which means son of Jesus or son of the Saviour. But it seems that Luke, writing this book, couldn't bear to call him that. It also makes me wonder whether this is why Saul, aka Paul, speaks so harshly to him. He says, "You son of the devil." I don't think Paul went around just calling people names. I think he was directly opposing this man associating himself with the Lord. Luke goes on to refer to him as Elymas, which means sorcerer. Paul comes against him as he interfered with what Paul and Barnabas were sharing about the Lord, and he was urging Sergius to pay no attention. He was trying to keep the governor from believing. Paul, using spiritual discernment and operating in the gift of faith, rebuked and pronounced judgment of God on Elymas. "You shall be blind." Paul was harsh in his confrontation against Elymas because the eternal destiny of the proconsul was at stake. What was the result? The proconsul saw something in Paul and something in Elymas. He saw the courage of Paul. Here was a man of conviction, bold in his belief and willing to make a stand for what he believed. He saw the just result of Elymas's sin, physical blindness corresponding to his spiritual blindness. So how do we apply this story to our lives? Why is it there for us to read in the Bible? Well, I'm sure there are many ideas and ways God may speak to you through this passage. But the thought that came to me was, when does the word of God get interfered with in my life? Where am I kept from believing? There are times where people may poke fun or challenge about our belief, but for me, it's mainly my own thoughts. For many people, this is where the battle is. Interestingly, Paul writes later about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So here's some good news. When a thought sets itself up against the word of God, we have been given the weapons and divine power to demolish it. In a very real sense, this is what Elymas the sorcerer was doing, trying to dissuade the proconsul from believing. And in a very real way too, our thoughts, whether they're our own, something we've seen on social media or from another person, can try and do the same. In verse 5, it's clear that we have a part to play in taking hold of these thoughts. We demolish arguments and pretensions. We take captive every thought. Jesus did it spectacularly as he was being tempted in the desert. He knew scripture to enable him to tear down the words the enemy was trying to persuade him with. I love teaching this to children as I give them permission to tell the thoughts to be quiet and shut up in Jesus' name. And then I challenge them to learn a scripture to demolish it. And if we know people, members of our family or our friends, who are really struggling with thoughts that set themselves up against the knowledge of God, we have the weapons to pray for them. We're not weak or helpless or voiceless in these situations. And when we engage in this way, maybe we will see more people like the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, come to faith in the Lord. Let me pray. Father, you know that our thoughts are a battleground. And I pray for each person listening today that you would strengthen them and that you would equip them with the tools that they need and that you would encourage us to use them, Lord. Help us to take captive every thought that sets itself up against you. Help us to recognize the truth and to believe it. In Jesus' name, amen.